Okay, today's daf is Yuma Daf Lamed Hey, some very fascinating Gemara in Yuma Daf Lamed Hey. We're going to start with the Mishnah on the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalid Amid Beis, where it discusses the changing of Begadim that the Kohen Gadol does and how much the various Big Day Lavan have to cost, the Big Day Lavan that he wears in the morning, that he wears for the Tamid Shel Bein HaArbayim. And then the Gemara is going to discuss why the Mishnah adds, when it tells us the price of the Begadim in the morning, the Begadim in the afternoon, then the Mishnah tells us the total price. Well, we could add, so why does the Mishnah have to tell us that? It's also going to give us the source for how we know that he has to have more expensive begadim in the morning than he does in the afternoon. The Gemara is going to discuss privately made big day kahuna. If he wants to do what the Gemara terms as an avodas yachid, he's allowed to wear privately made big day kahuna. The Gemara is going to tell us about certain kohanim gedolim whose mothers made them very expensive and beautiful big day kahuna, one of whom wasn't allowed to wear it because it was so sheer that you could see right through it. And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara tells the rest of Amud Beis up until the Mishnah, it's the very well-known Gemara about the three people who are mechayev us all in din, that we're going to go up, and if a person is an ani, he's going to say, I couldn't learn because I was an ani, and we're going to say, in the Beis HaShalom Malah, they're going to say, what about Hillel? You weren't poorer than Hillel, the Gemara is going to say, you weren't richer than Rabbi Elazar ben Charsum, so you could, Ashirus is not an excuse, you didn't have a bigger Yetzer Hara than Yosef HaTzadik, so a Yetzer Hara is not an excuse. So that's the basic outline of the daf. Let's begin again. The Mishnah on Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. Hiviyu leBeis HaParva ubeKodesh Haisa. They would bring him to the Beis HaParva, which was located in the Kodesh, and Parsu Sadin Shel Bot Beino Levein Ha'am. They would spread out a linen cloth between him and the Am so that no one would be able to see him. It was for privacy. Kiddush Yadav Araglav, he would wash his hands and feet, uPashat, and then he'd remove the clothing he was wearing until now. Rameir says, no, Pashat Kiddush Yadav Araglav. The Seder Advarim, we saw this machlokas a couple of times already, the Seder Advarim is that he would first remove the clothing and then be Kiddush Yadav Araglav, then wash his hands and feet. Remember, at the end, when he puts on the new clothing, that there is no machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham Mitra Meir and Tanakama, that he certainly puts on the new clothing and is then Kiddush Yadav Araglav. But we saw that there is an opinion that holds that everything was done in between. It was on Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. It was, I think, Rav Chista understood that Rebbe's opinion was that even when he put on the new clothing, he would be Kiddush Yadav Araglav while not wearing them, and then put on the new clothing. But neither opinion in our Mishnah seems to hold that way. So again, the machlokas is when he takes off the old clothing, does he take off the old clothing and then wash his hands and feet, which is Rabbi Meir's opinion, or does he wash his hands and feet and then take off the old clothing? Tanakama, that's Chachamim. Yarad v'tavel, he would then go and do Tevila, Olav v'nistapeg, and when after he did Tevila, he came up and he dried himself off. So the Achronim raised the question, is that a halacha or is that just what you do? Meaning, Lahavdil, Bill Cosby had an old routine about how parents have to relate to children, and he had a whole thing about how you have to give very specific instructions. Don't go, just take a bath and get in pajamas. Take a bath, dry yourself, and get in pajamas. Otherwise, they come with everything sticking to them. So is that just the Mishnah telling us what they have to do? Or is the Mishnah just telling us, because obviously you have to dry yourself, you just went to the mikvah? Or is this a halacha that nistapig? So the Mishnah Lemelech is Medayik from the Rambam. The way the Rambam formulates it in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, that the Rambam doesn't quote the exact lashon of the Mishnah. The Rambam doesn't say Allah v'nistapeg. The Rambam says Allah umistapeg. Sounds like it's not just a statement of what happened, but that it's a lashon of chiyuv, that this is what is done, that he has to be mistapeg. So the Mishnah Melech says, because we have to be choshesh, this is a halacha, because you have to be choshesh at the Shas Tvila, maybe some pieces of dirt or some sort of lichluch was in the water and sticks to his skin, and therefore it's going to be chatzitza between his skin and the begadim. So he has to wipe off all the water, and along with that water, any dirt that's in that water will be wiped off as well. Also, the Rambam quotes this din in Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim, and he doesn't mention in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, even though the Mishnah says over there also in Maseches Tamid, when it goes through the Avodas Hayom, when it goes through, it talks about Ira Keri Be'echen Mehen, Yotze V'Holich Lo B'Mesiba, Yorad V'Tavol Olav V'Nistapeg. It says over there that if it becomes a Balkeri, he has to go out to the mikveh and he's Olav V'Nistapeg. So we see, why does the Rambam quote Olav V'Nistapeg over here and not over there? Maybe because over there it's not a halacha, over there it's just what happened. But over here it's a din, so maybe that's also a diuk that could be made. So okay, comes out he dries himself up. He viu lo big day lavan. Then they bring him the big day lavan. So the Tosefta mentions that if he was ovid bifnim with big day zahav and not with big day lavan, or ovid bechutz with big day lavan and not with big day zahav, the avodah is going to be possible. So the Minchas Chinuch just points out in Mitzvah Kuf Pei Hei that misvara, it's a davar pasha that if he's ovid bifnim wearing the big day zahav, of course it's avodah so psuli. It's mechal the avodah. It's chayv misa b'day shemayim. It's avodah b'yisur begadim. And similarly, an avodah that requires big day zahav, if he uses big day lavan, he's mechusur begadim. So of course it's avodah so psula. He's missing. He either has too many begadim or he's missing begadim. So the Mikdash David raises the suffix though. He says, granted avodah so psula, but does he have a chiyuv of zarus? Meaning the din is that kohanim bizman shebigdayim aleim kunasim aleim. If a kohen is doing the avodah not wearing the big day kun, it's an isur of zarus. He's a zar. He's not a kohen because ain bigdayim aleim ain kunasim aleim. So would we say that when a kohen gadol is wearing the wrong begadim? He's wearing big day kuna, and these are big day kuna that are viable big day kahuna in a different context. As long as he were doing a different avoda, would we say that he has a din of a zar? That's the suffix the Mikdash David has. The Gemara in Maseches Rosh Hashanah tells us why this is so, that he has to change out of the big day zav in order to go lefnai v'lefnim. The Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Vav Amud Aleph says that this is part of the concept of ein kategor nasa senegor, that since the egel was made out of zahav, it was an egel azav, we don't want to bring up the bad memories of the egel hazav, so that's why we dafka don't have him wear golden clothing when he goes inside. The Medrash Rabbah says a different reason. It's kedei lachus al mamonim shel Yisrael, says the Medrash Rabbah. It's to go easy on the money that Klal Yisrael has to spend. Rosh Hashanah explains because the begadim that he uses bifnim require geniza. The Gemara had already said it. We already discussed what that means exactly, that they require geniza, but it's pashtus, it means that he can't use them anymore. So it needs geniza. So every single time he wears the big days of in Yom Kippur, it's going to require geniza. That's going to be a very expensive proposition. The avanim of the ephod, that are very, very expensive. Forget about the gold even. The avanim of the ephod are very expensive. So it's hatorah chas al mamonim shel Yisrael, that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have to lose that amount of money to pay for new big days of all the time. Okay, lavash v'kidesh yadav raglav. He would then put on those big day lavan, and again, kidesh yadav raglav, and again over here there's no machlokas between Rameir and the Chachamim, what the Seder was. He'd first put on the clothing and then be mekadesh yadav raglav. B'shachar ha'yelovish plusin shel shteva samana. In the morning he would wear the begadim that he wore by this tevila were made out of pishtan of pilusin, which is a very fine linen, and would cost 12 mana. Ben arbayim handuyin shel shmona me'azuz divrei meir. And in the evening, the begadim that he would wear for the kafu machta, for the taking out of the kafu machta from the kodesh kedashim, that was handuyin. That was from eretz handuyin, from the Indian type of clothing of linen, which cost 1800 zuz, which is 18 mana. So it cost a third more than the one that he wore in shachar, or I guess 50% more really than what he wore in shachrus. It's 12 mana, so he had another 6. V'cham amrim b'shachar ha'yelove shel shmona asar mana u'ben arbaim shel shneim asar mana. V'cham say no, in the shachar it was 18 mana, and in the ben arbaim it was 12 mana. Hakol shlosh mana elu mishal tzibur. All 30 of these mana came from the money of the tzibur. V'imratz lahosiv mosiv mishalo. And if he wanted to add anything, then he added on his own. He added from his own money. But the 30 that was the allotment that came from the kesef tzibur in order to pay for his begadim. The Aruch HaShulchan HaAsid writes that it must have been that they had some sort of halacha l'moshim Sinai, that it's 30 mana that gets paid for from the tzibur, because we don't know where that comes from. The Gemara doesn't put a drasha or anything to figure out where that number comes from. In the Sedra Avodah Abudraham, he says there's a remiss to it in the pasuk, because in Parsha Sachremos, by the Sedra Avodah, it mentions 5 times the word bad. Bad is gematria 6. 6 times 5 is 30. So maybe that's where the 30 mana comes from. Such a remez for the 30 mana. Again, not a drasha, but a remez like that. Okay, my parva. So what is this place called parva? They bring him to the base of parva. Am Rav Yosef parva amgusha. Rav Yosef says parva amgusha. What does that mean? It says Rashi mechashe fechad b'na'a ushmo parva. This area was built by a certain magician, and this magician's name was parva. So we call the place after him. So Rashi, the Tosfos also says Pirush Baruch Vezel Shono Yesh Min HaChacham Sha'omrim Ki Chafar Mechila Tachas HaKarka BeKodesh At Shira Avodas Kohen Gadol, that this was a guy who dug a tunnel underground to be able to sneak in and see the Avodah of the Kohen Gadol. Virgishu HaKohanim BeChafira, and the Kohanim sensed that there was some digging going on underground. They knew that there was no legal excavation at the time. Umatzu V'Karos HaLishchal Shmo, and they caught the guy digging in to try to get into the base of Mikdash, and they called it after his name. They named it after him because they caught him there. The Meiri raises the question on Rashi that if you can say that it's some sort of mechashef and his name was Parva, why would we call the name of a lishka in the base of Mikdash after someone who practices kishuf? Shem Rishayim Yerkov, the Gemara is going to tell us soon that we have to blot out the name of Rishayim. You're not allowed to name someone after Russia or name something after Russia or have a monument to a Russia. So we're going to have that's going to be the name of a room in the base of Mikdash. So the Miri says he was a mechashef b'tchilaso, but then he was chazerbo. He must have done tshuva afterwards. The Bartanura in Maseches Midos says that he was bana al yedei machshefos. It's not stam that he was a mechashef, that he did kishuv. That's how he built this. Bartanura in the fifth parak of Midos. That's how he built this room. He built this room using kishuv. So Tos Yontif says, what a pella that is. How could we keep a room in the base of Mikdash that was built using kishuv? So the Tferes Tzol says, no, it doesn't mean that it was actually using kishuv. It means that he was brilliant. He was a brilliant architect. He came up with a system of pipes that allowed for water to go in, to go into that area, and it was so amazing that everyone said he's a magician. He's not an architect, he's a magician. Everyone was so amazed. But he didn't actually use kishuv. He was just a brilliant architect. So then certainly it makes sense that they would name the place after him. Okay, so says the Gemara further now. So they would use parts of sadin shel boats. They would spread out linen clothing. Maisha shel boats. Why dafka or linen cloth? Maisha shel boats. Why dafka linen would they spread out while he was being tovel? So Amar Rav Kahana Kadeshi Yakir Shavodas Yom Be Bigdei Boats. So we saw this before that Rav Kahana points out that the reason they do this is that everyone should realize and he should remember that the Avodas Hayom is done wearing linen clothing, which over here certainly he needs. He's going to have that reminder because he's about to change into the white linen clothing. So we should remind him of that. That serves as a reminder that in the type of mechitza that we put up. So the Mishnah had said that in the morning there were two opinions with what the cost of the clothing was. First opinion was in the morning it was Shneimasar Mana bin Arbayim, it was Handuyin of Shmona Asar. And the Chum say no, in the morning it was Shmona Asar, bin Arbayim was Shneimasar. So it says the Gemara Vatanam in Yana Asal Ashminon. Then at the end it says, oh, this number of 30 mana total, that comes Mishal Tzibur. You really need to tell me that it was 30 mana total? I know how to add. Why do you have to tell me it was 30 mana total? Zakam Ashmelon, the Batsir Mehani Lanavid. It's come and teach me a din that you can't do any less than 30 mana, but if you want to do a little less on one of them and a little more on the other, as long as the total is at least 30, it doesn't have to be the exact numbers that are mentioned in the Mishnah. Rabbeinu Eliyakim explains that means l'shnei atzadim. It means you could add to either one. You could bring shel shachar could be 20 mana and the ben arba'im 10 mana, or the opposite. You could be mafchis b'shel shachar and mosif al shel ben arba'im. You can go whichever direction you want. You can adjust the prices. The Ritva, however, says, no, it's dafka to be mosif on the morning ones and to be poches on the ben arbayim ones. You can only add to the morning and subtract from the ben arbayim. So Sfasem is explaining why. Why would that be such a din that you have to add, that you could add to the morning but you can't subtract to the morning? So the Sfasem explains that there must have been some sort of Kabbalah that the shel arvis has to be at least one third more than shel ben arbayim, than shel shachar rather. So therefore they would have to be mosif al shel shachar, the other way. So therefore, the shel shachar to be one third more. So therefore, they have to be most of all shel shachar. But to be poches mishel shachar, to be most of all shel ben arba'im, you can't do that because that would be more than a one third difference, or what we would call a 50% difference. But they call it one third because milavar it's one third. So there must have been some sort of kabbalah that's how it has to work. To kuli almamias to shachar adifi minalan. Everyone seems to agree though that shachar is adif, that the begadim you'd wear in the morning is adif. Where does that come from? So some Rav Huna. So Rav Huna explains that where does this idea come from that Shachar is Adif from the following. Amar Rav Huna Breid Rav Ilai, Amar Kra, Pasuk says Bad, 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 Bad. The Pasuk says four times the word Bad. Son is Bad Kodesh Yilbash, Umichnesei Bad Yuel Basaro, Uvavnet Bad Yichkar, Yachkar, Mitznef is Bad Yitznof, Bigde Kodesh Emrach, Sometimes Parvel of Hashem. So it says the word Bad four times in the Pasuk. Muvchar Bibad, and that's there to teach me four times to tell me that it has to be the most beautiful linen possible, the best possible linen. That's why it says bad four times. So frankly, we're meisvei v'lov shubikad ma'achirim v'lo yikadshu esha'am b'bigdehem ma'ilav achirim chashuv mehen. It says v'lov shubikad ma'achirim, that when he would change, he would put on begadim achirim. Doesn't achirim imply that he put on more expensive begadim, not less expensive begadim? It says more low achirim chus mehen. Who says anything about more expensive? Maybe achirim means. Maybe achirim means less expensive. It just means different begadim. So that doesn't tell us anything. The Malbim explains that according to the pashtus of the psukim, lasad lavo, these kohanim, he says, ye la osam akhanim aksherim aliyah b'madregas kedushasam shiu af hakohane hedyot kein kohen gadol b'yom kippur. That lasad lavo, the kohanim are going to be, the regular kohanim are going to have the kedusha of kohen gadol on yom kippur. Because what's the context of this pasuk? This is the nevuah Yecheskel about the Kohanim Halavim B'nei Tzadok that are going to be the Mesharsi Hashem and are not going to be distant from the Avodah like all the other Kohanim who are not Shomer Mishmeres Hashem. So we're not talking about a Kohen Gadol here, we're talking about Kohanim. So the Malbim explains that each of the Kohanim, Milasad Lavo, is going to have a Kedusha of a Kohen Gadol in Yom Kippur, that the Begadim are not going to be Tzemer, Lo Yusu Nashim Yisrael, Rak Besula, Solomana Shal Kohen, and they're also not going to be allowed to marry anyone who's not a Besula, just like a Kohen Gadol. They're going to be Mistapper with the tesporus of the Kohen Gadol, that each where the tip of each piece of hair is bitsadi koro shall the next piece of hair is by the root of the next piece of hair, and when they go out to the Amidah Sa'am, they can wear big de chol, not big de kodesh, because they're going to be going as big de kodesh and lishchos hakodesh. But the Gemara is darshaning these psukim the way Rashi does, that it's all talking about the avodas kohen gadol and yom kippurim, even though the Malbim understands the pashtus of the psukim is has nothing to do with kohen gadol, it's all about regular kohen. But these regular Kohanim are going to have certain status of the certain Kedusha that's like Kuhuna Gedola. Tani Rav Huna Bar Yehuda, Varmila Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Achar Shekol Savodas Tzibor, Kohen Shaslo Imok Sones, Lov Shava Ovid Ba Avodas Yachid. Once the Avodas Tzibor is done, if a Kohen has a mother who has made him a special robe, so he can wear that and do Avodas Yachid with that, Ubavachim Sren al Tzibor, as long as he gives it to the Tzibor. Now, what Avodas Yachid is he doing? So Rashi says it doesn't really mean Avodas Yachid. Hotzas Kafu Machta Sheinat Tzrichel Tzibor. We're talking about the removing of the Kafu Machta from the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which does not require the Tzibur, El Fisham Talos HaLov Lifnos HaSamakom L'fichach Kari L'Avodas Yachid. Meaning, it's the point is that since he's the one that's responsible to remove those items from that area, so we call it an Avodas Yachid, but it's not really an Avodas Yachid in the sense that he's not like bringing his own individual carbon or anything like that. So that's what we refer to as an Avodas Yachid. The Mishnah said that Elu Mishal Tzibur, that these Begadim Kam Mishal Tzibur. So Tosi Shana points out that's if he wants to, but if he also wants, he could bring the Kavadul Tiferes, he could bring more expensive, nicer Begadim. So good. So as long as he makes sure to give the Begadim to the Tzibur, to donate the Begadim to the Tzibur, that's fine. So says Mar Peshita, of course it's fine. It belongs to the Tzibur. What's the problem? So Mal Detem Necho Shemalim Sreni Yafi Yafe Kamash Milan. One might have thought that we have to be Choshish, that maybe he's not going to give it over with wholeheartedly, and that's why Kamash Malan, that it's okay, that he is allowed to donate the begadim that he had privately made, and that's perfectly fine for the avoda. The Rambam paskins in Hilchos Klei Migdash, in the 8th paragraph of Hilchos Klei Migdash, that all the begadim have to be Mishal Tzibur, and a yachid who's misnadei v'beged mibigdei kuna just gives it over to the Tzibur and it's mutter. So the Mishnah Melech says, shouldn't the Rambam have said something about that only being for an avodas yachid? Our Gemara says that yeah, once he's done with the avoda Tzibur, if he wants to wear a privately owned beged for an avodas yachid, he's allowed to wear a privately owned beged. Yeah, for an avodas yachid, but not for an avodas tzibur. The Rambam just Rambam quotes it. Any Kohen wants to wear privately owned baguette, it's okay, privately made baguette, as long as he's most of the Tzibur. Sounds like the Rambam holds even for an Avodah Tzibur. So the Mishnah Melech says the Rambam must reject our sugya based on other sugyas that he thinks sound like even for Avodah Tzibur you're allowed to donate, because the Rambam is beferish against our Gemara. The other possibility is that the Rambam maybe holds like the Shita of the Me'iri. The Me'iri over here writes that the whole chisaron of Avodah Tzibur is when the Kohen is makdish the beged, meaning of using privately made begadim for Avodah Tzibur, is when the Kohen is makdish the beged right before he does the Avodah. That's where we're concerned that he's not giving it b'lev shalim to the Tzibur. But let's say it's shalom b'shas Avodah, the Kohen decides he's going to donate a beged, and he gives it to the Lishcha for all the other Kohanim to use, or for anyone to use. So then the Mesira L'Tzibur works, because that we assume is an absolute Mesira. So maybe that's what the Rambam means, that anyone could always be Makdish for any sort of Avodah, as long as it's not right before he does the Avodah. That's what we're worried about. Kohen Gadol and Yom Kippur, if he's Makdish Begadim right before he does the Avodah Tzibur, then it's going to be a problem. But still, it doesn't say, the problem is, it doesn't say in any place, the Rambam never says any sort of Hevdel between any sort of Chilik between Avodah Yachid and Avodah Tzibur, and he also is never mechalik between Samach L'Avodaso and not Samach L'Avodaso, so it's a lot to read into the Rambam. In the Sefer Siach Yitzchak, he says that maybe we could say that it talks about the Avodah Yachid not as a din that only for Avodah Yachid he's allowed to donate his clothing. The Chiddush is that even for Avodah Yachid, it's a Chiddush that even though Hotzos Kafa Machta is not an Avodah Gemura, it still needs Mesira L'Tzibur, meaning of course he's allowed to donate the clothing. One might have thought he doesn't even need to donate the clothing for Avodas Yachid. Maybe that's why the Gemara emphasizes the Avodas Yachid side of things. That for an Avodas Tzibur, of course, if he donates the clothing, that's okay. But one might and he has to donate the clothing. But one might have thought for the Avodas Yachid, he doesn't even need to donate the clothing. Then the Rambam would make perfect sense that the Rambam isn't mechalek between Avodas Yachid and Avodas Tzibur. The riot to that is in the Tosefta in the Yerushalmi. It says that the Ksonas Shasui Mosean, that the Gemara is about to tell us that certain mothers of Kohanim Gadolim made for them, so it says in the Yerushalmi that they would use it lahakrav al gabei mizbeach. So it sounds like they would use it even for an Avodah Tzibur, even for an Avodah Gemura. So there is an indication, at least, that based on the Yerushalmi, that the Rambam has to be correct, that even for an Avodah Tzibur, one can donate the begadim. Amrullah, back in the Gemara, Amrullah al Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi, they say about Rabbi Shmuel ben Pavi, Sha'as salo imo ksona shal mea mana, that his mother made him a ksona set of worth 100 mana, v'lov shava ovid ba avodas yachid, and he would wear it, and he would do avodas yachid with it, umasra l'tzibur, and he would give it to the tzibur. Rashi says that the imosein shal klanim gedolim would make for their children kamin bigde kuna to show teferas oshron v'noy melachtim, to show how wealthy they were, and to show how beautiful their handiwork, how good they were at making clothing, and how much their mahadir mitzvahs, that they dafka want to use all their wealth and all their talents and all their ability to be mahadir a mitzvah. And the Ben Yoyada, however, he says, why does the dafka say that the begadim were made al yidei imosehen? Dafka them, their sisters didn't make them, their aunts, it was dafka imosehen, it was dafka their mothers, not their wives, it was dafka their mothers that made them. So he says, maybe this is based on the Gemara Maseches Makos Daf Yud Aleph, where the Gemara talks about how the imosehen shel kohanim gedolim were mesapik mayimu mazon to the people that went to a near miklat, so that the people in the near miklat wouldn't daven for the kohanim gadolim to die. And the idea is that because a kohen gadol with his tefillah has the ability to cause to stop any accidental deaths, and if a death happens, by accident, we hang it on the kohen gadol a little bit. We make it part. We assume that it's because a kohen gadol didn't daven enough, so we could be mechaper on avon shvichas dam. What's mechaper on the avon? The Ksonas is Mechaper and Shvichas Damim. So the Ksonas also would have been able to be Monea Mitchila, not to lead to anybody being in Golos in the first place. So who is the one involved to make sure that he had the nicest Ksonas? It was Dafka the Ksonas, it says, that they made for him. The mother, the Kohen Gadol, in order to save her from baking all those cookies later on, if she makes a really nice Ksonas, maybe that will be Mechaper and the Shvichas Damim. That will cause that they're not going to have people in Golos in the first place who are going to be davening for the death of her son. A very sharp var. That's what the Ben Yoyada suggests over here. That why it's Dafka the Ksonas and Dafka the mothers. Unrelove of Lozman Kharsam. They said about Lozman Kharsam, Sha'as Salo Imo Ksonas Mishte Ribo, Veloi Nihu Achava Kohanim, the Lovshab Nation near Karim, unusually wealthy people, and the mother made him from Ribo means 10,000, so it was an extremely extremely expensive baguette, but the other Kohanim wouldn't allow him to wear it because it was so fine that you were able to see right through it. He was near a Ka'arim, it was so sheer, you could see right through it. He looked like he wasn't wearing any clothing. So they deemed that highly inappropriate for him to be walking around the Beis HaMikdash with it, so they wouldn't allow him to wear it. The Yerushalmi has a different end to the story. The Yerushalmi says that he would soak it in water and he walked around the Mizbeach to have the water heated out of it, and the water filled in the holes of the baguette, and then he was able to wear it. But whatever it is, as it was, he was not allowed to wear it. I saw an interesting thing in Chashuk Echemet. He points out that there's a tshuva from the Tshubina Rav, from the Tshuvas Dovav Mesharim Chelik Alvesim Kuf Chavdal Eros Beis. Echad sheiniach hazvon alit in ma'alma achas b'shar shetinasi lishal b'gdei chasna ezem ma'os. A guy leaves money for chnasas kala for a young girl who's a yisoma, let's say, and then they find out after this fellow dies, they find out that the girl wants to wear b'gdei pritzos. She wants to use the money, but she's not such a tsnua, so she wants to wear begadim that are not so tsnua. And the person who left the money is a tremendous yirei shemayim, never would have wanted such begadim to be bought. So Tshubina Rav says, if you look at Maseches Kelim, it says Ha'osa Beged Min Acherim Tahar, and the Bartanur says Min Acherim means Min Hareshes, from like netting, and the problem is Bisaru Nira, that you could see right through, it was sheer, and that's why it's Tahar. Why is it Tahar? Because it doesn't have a shame Beged. He left money over for Begadim. He didn't leave money over for something that's sheer, that doesn't have a din of a Beged. L'chora, that's against our Gemara, Rav Zilberstein points out, because our Gemara says that Lo Inichu the Kohanim to wear it because he was near a Ka'arim. What it should have said is because he has to wear a Beged. And he's not wearing a baguette, meaning the halacha is very, very clear. Upashar is big day habad. He has to wear big day habad if it's not a baguette at all, so it's not a baguette. So then what are we talking about? Maybe there's a chilik between a man wearing and a woman wearing, that it's not called a baguette klape an isha, but it's called a baguette klape a man. A little bit difficult to understand. This has major ramifications. If a baguette is... the Rav Zilberstein points out that maybe according to... maybe you could suggest that the issue in the Mishnah in Maseches Kelim, that it says that it's not a beged, maybe that was because it was netting. It actually had holes in it. It wasn't just sheer. Maybe something that's sheer but is solid does have a din of a beged. It's just a beged bilti tsenua, but it's a beged. Something that has holes in it doesn't have a shame beged bechlal. I always wondered. I once asked Rav Shapter about mesh tzitzis. A lot of my Talmidim like to wear the mesh tzitzis because it's much, much lighter. So I asked if... I saw different tshuvas on the topic, whether, you know, depending whether it's made out of synthetic material or made out of cotton, but I think most of the time they make it out of cotton now. So I asked him what he thought. He said, it's not a shame beged. That it's not chayv and sitz because it's not a beged. And I always wondered what the source for that is. Where do you find that it's not a beged? Maybe that's this Mishnah in Maseches Kelim. That say if it has holes in it. So I said, what do you mean it's not a beged? He said, it's part it's merubah la'omed. There's there's more open than there is closed. So he didn't think such a thing would have a shame beged. But this is mamish a source for that. Meaning it could be see through. It would have a shame beged. But if it's right, if it was so fine and so sheer, but some with holes in it, maybe it doesn't have a shame beged. Okay. Says Mar Mimis Chazi V'Haber Mar Chutan Kafel Shisha. How could it be that it was see through? Doesn't it say that it was made with threads that were six folded over? So how could it possibly be see through? Samar Abayi Kecham Rabbi Maskei says it's just like you can see wine through a glass. The glass could be a very thick glass, but it's still see through. So if you have very fine material, it could be that it's still see through, even though it's somewhat thick because it was such high quality material. Okay, Tan Rabbanan, very famous Gemara. Ani va'ashir v'rasha ba'in ladin. Three different types of people can be baladin, lachameya v'asum shana, and they're all going to think they have an excuse for why they didn't learn Torah, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to show them, or the Beis Shalmaila is going to show them, that they didn't really have an excuse because there was a model down here on earth who showed that you can learn Torah in spite of all of the greatest challenges in the world. This is there's a beautiful biur of this. They say that I think it must be in one of Malcolm Gladwell's books or something, that they point out that historically, if you look back at like newspaper clippings before the 4-minute mile was done, before anyone ran the 4-minute mile, it was understood that there were people that had theories, doctors and people that had theories that it's impossible for the human body to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. That's why for decades and decades no one was able to do it, and everyone kept on trying. It's just impossible based on the physical structure of the human body. No one could ever do it. And then what happened? one guy, Roger Bannister, I think it was, broke the 4 minute mile. And then once he did that, it was like a floodgates opened. All of a sudden, runners who were never able to do it, all of a sudden were able to do it. Meaning, once that possibility, once you have that model that, oh my gosh, it's possible, you're able to get past that mental block, someone has done this, then everybody can do it. It's not that they could have done it before, they couldn't have, because if in their minds it was impossible, then they couldn't have done it. But once you see that it's been done, it becomes possible. And everyone all of a sudden has the ability, well, not everyone can run a 4 minute mile, but a lot more people have the ability to do it. So that's the moral of this Gemara. People are going to say, I have an excuse, I couldn't learn Torah, I was too poor to learn Torah. Oh yeah? You weren't poorer than Hillel. Not that you're expected to be Hillel, but if there was a model and you see that it's possible, so then more people should be able to do it. You don't have to be the world class runner to be able to do it. To the Ani, they're going to say, why didn't you learn Torah? And by all of them, it says the first question is going to be, the Tos Yishanu points out over here that Kedamrin B'Sanhedrin, like the Gemara says in B'Sech Sanhedrin, Ein Tchilas Dino Shaladim El Divrei Torah, that the first question we're going to have to answer, Lachem Eivesim Shana, is about Divrei Torah. That's why the first question, Neimalo Asakta B'Torah. Tosis over there points out that it seems to be a stira with the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara in Shabbos says that they're going to ask six questions. Las Lavo. The first one is Nasasa v'Nasata be'amuna, was were you honest in business? Nothing to do with Torah. Tosfos raises the question. So the Gra is in Kol Eliyahu. It's also quoted by the Maariv Tzichyus in Masechta Shabbos. The Gra says that no, we misunderstand what the question means. Nasasa v'nasata be'amuna. The Gra says if you look at the line previous to that line, the line right before the line of the six questions that they're going to ask of nasasa v'nasata be'amuna, kavati itum l'torah, etc., etc. The previous line is that Reish Lakish says my dechziv v'haya emunas itecha chosin yishuah schachmas v'das emunas zaseid Israel mitecha zaseid moed. It quotes a pasuk and it says each word in the pasuk refers to a different one of the sedarim in Shas. It says now you look at the six questions they ask. Las Lavo, Nasas v'Nasata be'emuna. Were you engaged in emuna? Well, we just said one line ago, emuna zeseder zrayim. It's not a question about business. It's a question where you osik in emuna in the seder that's called emuna. Kavati itim la Torah. Itecha zeseder moed v'chule. All six questions actually line up with different parts of Torah, so it's all related to Torah. The Ksav Sofer says differently. Ksav Sofer in Parshas Mishpatim on the Chumash, in his commentary on Chumash, says that the kiyum mitzvos of the Torah are talui in masu matan be'emuna. The pasuk says in Yeshaya, sona gezel ba'olah. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want our service if it's based on gezel. The Gemara Masechta Sukkah says Kadosh Baruch Hu says ani Hashem sona gezel. That everyone should learn from me, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and just run away from Gezel. If a person steals wheat and then he grinds it and he bakes it and he's mafresh challah from that wheat, so he can't make a bracha on such afresh challah. Einza mevarich eliminates. He's mocking HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in such a bracha. So what you see from there is any mitzvah that's enabled by Gezel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not interested in the mitzvah. So a person's going to learn Torah, but he wasn't asas of an asata be'amuna, it's going to take away from the kiyum of Talmud Torah. The Talmud Torah is not going to be something that Kadosh Baruch Hu is interested in. So first is the question of asas of an asata be'amuna, but it is tchilas dino shel adam al divrei Torah. Because in order for his divrei Torah to have any kiyum, for his divrei Torah to have any mashmaos to it, so it has to be that he was an asas of an asata be'amuna. So that's why his question number one says the Ksav Sofer ben asas of an asata be'amuna. It's still all about divrei Torah. But anyway, so they're going to ask him, the Ani, why didn't you learn Torah? Im Omer, Ani Yayisi Vitar Bim. If he says I was poor and I was too busy trying to put food on the table, Omrim lo. So the response to him is, Klum ani yayisa yoser me Hillel? Were you a greater ani than Hillel? Amro lava Hillel zakin shabakol yom yom haya osa mistaka b'tropik. That each and every day he would make a very small amount of money, a tropik, which is a half of a dinar. Each and every day, that's how much money he would make. Chetzio hayinasin l'shomer beis ha-medrash, and of that money, 50% of it he would give to the shomer beis ha-medrash to be able to get into the yeshiva. V'chetzio l'parnasasa l'parnasa sanche beiso. And the other half of it was for the meager support that he was able to provide for his family. One day he couldn't make money, he couldn't find anyone to pay him for his work, and the Shomer Beis HaMedrash didn't let him in. Can't pay tuition, he can't get in. Olav nitla v'yashav al pi aruba. So he went and he sat on the skylight on the top of the building. Kedei sheyishma divrei elokim chayim mipishmaya v'avtalion, because he didn't want to miss the shir of shmaya v'avtalion. Now, mind you, Hillel knew how to learn. He probably independently could have learned at home, and he would have been able to learn. But when Gedolei Yisrael, like shmaya v'avtalion, are saying shir, so that would have been bittul Torah be'echos. He felt that his quality of Talmud Torah, when he heard a shir from Shmaya v'Avtalion, was a greater quality of Talmud Torah. So it was worth it. So he went up to the rooftop to hear the shir from Shmaya v'Avtalion. Amru osa yom erev Shabbos hayi. They say that day was erev Shabbos utkufas teves haisa, and it was during tkufas teves. It was during the winter time. So this is I guess a dafyomi coincidence. We mentioned tkufas teves today on Asar b'teves. V'yardalav shalag min hashamayim. Another dafyomi coincidence. It's snowing in Yerushalayim. V'yardalav shalag min hashamayim. The snow came down min hashamayim on top of Hillel. Kisha'ol amur hashachar, when amur hashachar came, Amru lo Shmai l'Avtalion. So Shmai turns to Avtalion and says, Avtalion achi, my brother Avtalion, b'chol yom habayis meir, that every day the Beis Medrash in the morning when the sun rises is beautiful and light in here because the sun comes through the skylights. Vayom afel, but now it seems so dark. Shemi yom ha'mu'unanhu, maybe it's a cloudy day. Well, it was snowing all night. I don't know why that would be surprising that it was a cloudy day, but apparently it was not a cloudy day. It was a sunny day. Hitzitzu einayim v'ro d'mus adam baruva. So they looked up to see if it was a cloudy day, and they saw that there was a guy there, that there was a person on the skylight. Alu matzu alav rom sholosh amos shelag, and they found piled on top of him three amos of snow. That's quite a storm. Three amos of snow. Parku v'rchitzu v'sichuhu. So they, by the way, it's probably kosher mikvah. But parku, they took him, they released him, and they bathed him v'sichuhu, and they anointed him with oil v'oshivu k'negad amadur, and they sat him across from a fire. Amru roi zel l'chalal l'lavas haShabbos, and they said this guy is worth being mechal Shabbos for. Apparently, it was Shabbos, and they said this guy is worth being mechal Shabbos for, to make a fire to warm him up the entire time. Now a few issues with this story. First of all, there is a Gemara in Maseches Ksuvos that tells us how much one can responsibly spend for doing mitzvos. The Gemara says that they made a takana in Usha, hamavazvez al yavazvez yosem michomesh, that if a person wants to spend money for mitzvos, it's wonderful to spend money for mitzvos. Don't spend more than 20% of your money for any mitzvah, because shema ye ani v'yitztarech lebrios. We're afraid that a person is going to become poor if he spends such a high percentage of his money, and then he's going to have to end up collecting tzedakah. So there are exceptions to that rule. An ashir muflag is a noted exception. If someone is a billionaire, so he could spend more than 20% of his money, probably still have what to live on, so that's fine. We're not worried. Shema ye ani v'yistarech lebrios, even less than a billionaire, he could probably, wealthy people could spend more than 20% and it would still be okay. So that's, it's mutter if someone is an usher muflag, but otherwise it's usher. It's mamash usher to spend more than 20% of your money on a mitzvah. What does it say over here? Each day he made a trepik. He made this amount of money, and half of it he gave to the Shomer Beis HaMedrash. That's way more than 20%. He gave 50% to get into the Beis HaMedrash. So the Chavetz Chaim writes in a couple of places in the Kutei Halachos and Avos Chesed, he says what you see from here very clearly is that for Talmud Torah it's an exception to the rule. That the Rav Chanan writes this way in Kovetz Mamarim also, that Talmud Torah is not part of the rule of Amvazi Zali Vazi Zosim Mechamesh. The Talmud Torah is so critical to the continuity of the Jewish people that for Talmud Torah you're allowed to spend one term. So whether it's to support someone else's Talmud Torah, to support your own Talmud Torah, that's not subject to the rule of Amvazi Zali Vazi Zosim Mechamesh. In the Haros of Rav Yashiv, he says, well, by Pidyon HaBen, it says if a guy only has five slayim, he's poda atzmo. So everyone asks the same kash over there also. The Gemara in Kiddushin says a guy only has five slayim for his own pidyon and his child's pidyon. What do you do first? His own pidyon or his child's pidyon? But what do you mean? He should do neither, because you're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your money on tzedakah. So they're miyashiv that Pidyon HaBen is different because it's a shibud aguf, and you can't bring a raya from a shibud to a mitzvah. So it's not about the amount of the money. If you owe the money, you owe the money, meaning by the Kohen, you owe the money. So can you say the same thing by Talmud Torah? Maybe yes, maybe no. In the Bir Halacha, he discusses this, quotes all the different Gemaras that talk about people who seem to have spent more than 20% of the money on a mitzvah. So the Bir Halacha is miyashiv, that's only talking about the din of mevazveis. It's talking about someone who's not making a consistent living, and he's spending 20% of money that he has saved up. But if someone is making a consistent living each and every day, and it's not by spending today's money, it's not going to change the way he lives. It's not really going to change his lifestyle that much. It's just today maybe he'll skip lunch or something. Another Daf Yomi coincidence. Today he'll skip lunch. So that's not then it wouldn't be subject to the Isser of Amvazis. And apparently Hillel had a pretty steady job. Each and every day he made enough money to support his family, so it wasn't subject to Amvazis. Okay, says the Gemara further now. Ashir Omrim Lo. They'll say to an Ashir, "Neimalo asakta b'Torah. Why didn't you learn Torah?" Im Omer Ashir Yisi b'Torah Yisi b'Nechasa. If he's going to say, "Well, I was very wealthy and I was so busy managing all my property, how was I going to be able to learn Torah?" So Omrim Lo Klum Ashir Yisi Yosim Reb Lazar. They'll say, "Well, were you wealthier than Reb Lazar?" Omer Vel Reb Lazar Ben Charsim Shiniach Lo Avi Velif Ayaros Biyavasho Connect an Elif Sfinos Biyam. He had a Yerusha from his father of 1,000 cities on dry land, and corresponding to that, 1,000 boats in the sea. Ubechol Yom Notice, so he was able to make sure that there was commerce between all of his different cities, because he had boats to bring things from one place to another. And every day he would take a little sack of flour on his shoulder and he'd go around from city to city to go find the yeshiva to learn in, to hear shiurim from different people. One time his avadim found him and they made him pay the tax to the Sar Ha'ir, not knowing that he was the Sar Ha'ir, that they said, "Hey, you have to work today. The Sar Ha'ir demands that everyone in the city has to work." He said, "Please leave me alone. Let me just learn Torah. I'm not interested in working." By the life of Reb Elazar ben Charsum, we can't leave you alone. We have a boss that we have to satisfy. And every day he would just sit and learn all day and all night. Rasha Omrim Lo, when it comes to
55 today.
Oh, I totally forgot. Okay, sorry. Okay, so the end of the story is good too. All right. Good Shabbos. Next week, Alicia's saying this year. Okay.